A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Brings a tear to my eye. It really does.
Might be the good old days competing.
The beginning of that sounds like Oh Canada. Oh Canada.
That's interesting you bring that up. Charlie asked me, my son, asked me what was my favorite like country anthem. I'm like, well, let me think about all the 50 of them that I know. I'm like, I don't know anything except ours and then Oh Canada. And that's it. Like, I just said those two words. I don't think so.
Isn't
England, like, God Save the Queen or something?
Yeah,
like
I think it is.
Something along those lines. But it's to the tune of one of ours.
Is it?
Like, from the mountains. Maybe not that one. No. I swear it's to the tune of some sort of American jingle.
Okay, God Save the Queen. Hang on.
Aren't you the music master? You got a master's degree in music?
Hey, just chill out. I have the sheet music pulled up in front of me here. Let's see.
Oh, all right. This is going to be good.
Do me so.
Yes.
Yeah, that is
it sounds like
American song.
Land where our fathers are, land of the pilgrim's pride. Oh, we really just hijacked that from them, didn't we? We like threw our pilgrims in there, our founding fathers. Yeah. That's a real F you to the queen. Jeez, sorry guys.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Wow. Well, it's Olympics time and
I had no idea until you had me watch that.
Come on. I love watching the Olympics. Actually, I love watching
really?
The Olympics
the
for like the first.
Summer Olympics? Ugh. So boring. It's boring. I like gymnastics.
Wait. Kind of. You like
don't
the
watch
Winter
them.
Olympics? Okay. What events
yes!
of the Winter
figure
Olympics?
Figure skating.
And?
Bobsled. The luge.
Right.
Skiing.
Ew.
Ski jump.
Skiing. Ski jump.
Slaloms.
Yeah, I'm more of a summer Olympics. I mean, I like the figure skating, but it's not the same. I mean, we don't have Nancy. We don't have Tanya. We don't have Christy. It's not the same.
Who's Christy?
Who's Christy, she says. Christy Yamaguchi?
Oh, okay. Yeah, fine.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, that was a good Olympics.
Well, that's what I mean. That, to me, was the heyday of the Olympics, you know?
Oh, well, obviously, yes, of course.
But now, I don't know, I mean, ice skating, I'm like, yeah, cool. But the Summer Olympics, this is where it's at. Yeah, gymnastics, we got volleyball, beach volleyball, diving, synchronized diving,
okay, diving,
swimming.
Okay, that is interesting. My favorite thing to watch on a on a TikTok is slow motions of people, especially children, diving and like slamming their face into
planting.
The board.
Yeah. Oh.
And they slow it down.
Now, I got to tell you, what is the best event, either new or now we have enough channels and streaming that you could actually see all these other events that you've never actually seen before. There are, it's like acrobatic gymnastics or something. I sent you videos, and it's pairs. So it's either two girls or two guys. And they go out, and they do almost like circus-y Cirque du Soleil routines. You obviously didn't see the clip that I sent you, and I said, make sure you watch it.
I think I watched everything you sent me.
They're, like, throwing a little boy up, and he will hold him up on one foot and then hit the splits himself. It's the weirdest thing. Yesterday, there was, like, a Russian team that did, like, wake me up before you go, and they did, like, a little jazzy side snap leap thing and got into it. And they're, like, very, like, shimmery, shiny. All right, those of you who are not staring at me with contempt, I'm sure you have thoroughly enjoyed those episodes. Because
I like
those
watching,
episodes.
I like watching curling.
That's what the thing that just, like, goes down the ice, right?
Yeah, and then there's, like, the people with the brooms. It's very, like, everyone in my family curls. I don't.
That's so Canadian, I guess.
I know, it's, like, very, very Canadian.
But that's
like,
winter
all of
Olympics.
My family in Saskatchewan, like, loves curling.
You send the thing down, and what are they, like, smoothing out the ice for the
thing
to get down
there?
Yeah, so
they can kind of speed it up or slow it down with how much sweeping they do. And you're trying to, like, get...
Does it hit pins like bowling?
No, it's like darts almost, like you're trying to get into the middle, the center.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Okay. I've seen that before. It doesn't keep my interest. That's like watching bowling, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think watching all sports is boring.
Bowling can be fun. No offense to any bowlers out there. But watching it on TV is not the same as actually playing. As I've said, baseball. Like, watching baseball on TV is not that fun for me, but being at a baseball game. Yeah. It's the difference of being there. It's just different sports are like that. But I'm fully into it. I'm loving all of it. And I have a very good talent that has gone unnoticed and unappreciated in my family. And no one believed me that I have been a very good swimmer. I have never taken a swimming lesson. I never competed. I was never a professional. But I just know deep in my heart I'm a very good swimmer. Like, I could keep up, maybe not Olympic level, but I could do nationals or state level.
Never taken a swimming lesson?
No, I just learned how to swim on my own. I'm the fourth of four kids. You think my mom had time to worry about water safety? Like, oh, she's not going to drown. She didn't care. So I learned. I went to the School of Hard Knocks when it comes to
swimming.
You
went to the School of Excellence.
That's right, the School of Excellence, which we will talk about Team Mom in a little bit. So I said, listen, I think you guys should really come and see that I can bring the heat in the pool. And no one believed me. Dave laughed. I'm like, okay, yeah, you laugh it up. And Paige and I went to the pool, just the local pool over here, during the adult lap swim, which is a very humbling experience, let me tell you. Especially when I blend in with the age group. It's like, oh, God. And I brought the heat. She timed me, and I swam. And then I looked up my time and the times from the, like, U.S., MC, I don't know, whatever, United States swimming, whatever. And my time would have been, like, in the top 100 in that little league age range, whatever, from, like, 40 to 44.
Hmm.
Had I swum it, I would have been in the top 100.
Did you put your own kids in a swim class?
No, I taught them.
Oh.
And I'm, like, there. I'm eagle eyes, like, there. And they're very cautious.
Oh, I did it for years. And it was right after I got tubes in my ears. So I had
those too. Oh my God.
Yeah, I always had to wear, I had a bright yellow swim cap.
Oh, I didn't have a swim cap. They gave me earplugs.
Yeah, earplugs and then a swim cap.
Oh, I didn't have the swim cap. My
and I feel
my
like
mom
my
probably
parents also made me
yet.
Like wrap, like maybe, I feel like they wrapped maybe like Ziploc or something around. And then there was also the Speedo cap.
Oh, I didn't have the cap. Getting those things fitted, that was the worst. They pour the mold stuff in your ears.
No, I didn't have that. I just had those waxy ones.
Oh, you poor thing. You want to know what I had? I had, it was like a polymer something that was flesh colored, and you had to go to the audiologist or whatever at the hospital, and they would pour it in your ear, and then so that you could tell from left from right, they would put a red peg coming out of one and a blue peg coming out of the other. Like, that you could grip and pull in and out. So it was like two things sticking out the side of your head. And they would hurt, and then you would outgrow them, and they just, like, wouldn't fit right, so you'd have to go get new ones. They were horrible.
Oh, no, I just had that swim cap. But I remember, like, one tube fell out in second grade, and then the next one didn't fall out until, like, grade six. I was just walking down the hallway, and it just fell out, and I was like, that's what that looks like?
I bet you, like, that is where your pimple popper obsession came from.
No, I wasn't really that fascinated by it. I was just like, oh, there you go.
Oh, mine fell out. I never knew where they fell out. I just went in there. No, I caught one.
They're so little. Like, they're minuscule. They're like a millimeter.
Wait, hold on. Talking to this, that you caught it.
I was like, what is that? And I just, like, held my hand up, and I remember exactly where I was walking in my elementary school when it fell out.
God.
And I didn't have any friends, so I couldn't tell anyone. I just, like, I think I just threw it out. I was like, well, that happened.
Wow. See, you could have been on an Olympic softball team or something. With that hand-eye coordination? With that ear-hand coordination?
No, I felt it, like, in my ear.
Ooh, was that satisfying to get it out?
No, that was back before I cared about that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Too bad.
Well, anyway, I'm an excellent swimmer, so now all I've been saying the last week is, you guys ready to see me bring the heat? So tonight, I'm bringing the heat again. I'm going to go to the pool, because Charlie didn't witness me bring the heat.
Okay.
So he's going to witness me bring the heat tonight.
All right, well, be
careful. I'm real, real good. My form might not be, like, perfect breaststroke or, like, perfect backstroke. But, I mean, I can bring it. So,
All right.
I got that going for me. So, I think had my mom and dad fostered my innate talent and ability. And did you just roll your eyes at me?
No, I knew you were going to say that. That was a twitch.
Oh, I've, like, never seen you do that before.
Really? That's surprising.
I've never seen you do that before.
I do it a lot.
Sure. Okay.
I just outright rolled my eyes at you, like, okay, Jenny.
Now, in saying that, that was a long, hopefully not boring story, because you guys are listening to pretty much an Olympian here. I think I have what it takes to be a judge. So, like, when I'm watching synchronized diving, I can tell. Like, who opened up too early? Mm. Who's going to make too big of a splash? Right? Huh. Like, I feel like that could be a job of mine. How much are they getting paid to be judges for this? Right? Don't you think you could watch two divers and be like, well, that was a six. That was a nine.
No, I would just be like, oh, that's, like, terrifying, and I would never do that.
Okay, well.
Can you dive? Do you dive?
No. That's See, because horrifying. On the high dive, I've only done... Oh, the high dive one time, and I went up the 16 feet, whatever, got up there, was terrified, wanted to turn around and come back down, but then everyone at the bottom was like, go, go. They're like bullying me to go. I remember there was like a tween boy who still to this day, like a tween boy would terrify me. And while I was up there about to go, a bee came and stung me in the ass, and I had to go off the high dive feeling bullied with a bee in my swimsuit stinging my ass.
Walter, come here. The one time I went off the high board, that's the one and only time I ever got turned around in the water, and I actually thought I was going to die. Like, I didn't know which way was up.
Oh, my God.
I still remember
that's
it.
That's scary.
Terrifying. I just chose a direction, and I, like, ended up getting it right, but wow.
Did they blow the whistle and come and get you?
No, no one cared. What's that chubby girl doing out there?
Oh, yellow cap? She's coming up. She's fine.
Flailing around. All right, so we watched the... All right, this so is all to say Olympics. That we watched the opening ceremonies of the Olympics.
I watched from, like, beginning to end. I love the opening ceremonies. I get so into it. I get choked up because I'm like, these athletes, they work their whole lives, and this is just the moment. Now, in saying that, I know Tokyo had an extra year to work on some things. They also had some controversy, you know... You know about this?
No.
Like, their director of show or whatever, they had two people that had resigned because one of them made a comment or a joke about one of... Oh, there was two people. One made a joke about the Holocaust back in, like, 97 or something. And then someone else was accused of bullying. So two people had to leave during the week leading up to it. Now, watching this, I was a little underwhelmed. Hey, I'm just going to say, I was
underwhelmed. What's more appropriate in today's comedy world, a 9/11 joke or a Holocaust joke? I feel like you can get away with 9/11 more.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
Speaking of 9/11, that's on my actual list of things to talk about today. Oh, remember God. The other night I texted you and I'm like, I've been watching 9/11 footage for the past 3 hours. Yeah.
I was like, what is wrong with you? Did you get dropped on your head as a child? Jesus.
And once a year, I'll go into, like, a big, like, wormhole of 9/11 stuff, and I'll just, like, I spent 3 hours listening to 9/11 recordings.
Okay. Are we going to talk about OJ again, too?
When did we talk about OJ? Oh, because I put that on the list?
Every so often, she'll just be like, I got to talk about OJ.
The OJ verdict. The OJ verdict. Last week I put Kevin Pumpkins.
We still don't know where that came from.
David Pumpkins.
Oh, okay.
All right, anyway,
yeah, I was very underwhelmed by this one. And I know even though they had an extra year, it's still COVID and all that. But I just feel like, emoji guys. What did you think of that? Or I thought
that was actually kind of cool.
Execution, though. Very cool. Execution of it.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was fine. It was
you wouldn't have changed anything about that.
I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing.
It was like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was like 50 emojis I'm going to sit through here.
Where is your commitment to this show? You're letting everyone down. They were waiting for your commentary.
Listen, I was listening to the Great Shrimpathon. The Great Shrimpathon.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so listen. The emoji dudes that were doing, they shaped their bodies into all the different emoticons or whatever you want to call it for all the different sports. It was like 50 of them in 5 minutes or something like that. I thought it was great, but I feel bad for the guys that performed it because why were they doing it where when the athletes are watching it, they can't tell what they're watching? They should have done all of it with a white screen in the back and just put it on the Jumbotron for everyone to watch. Because you needed that back screen. I was so mind blown
by what I was watching. No, I just, you sent that to me just blind. And so I'm like, okay, I don't know if I'm supposed to like this or not. And then I knew there was like some piano chick and like some
piano chick. Let's just talk about jazz.
Wait, hold
pianist.
On. Do you remember a few years ago? This is the one time I did watch the whole opening ceremonies, other than in 1988 when it was the Winter Olympics was in Calgary. We watched that. But. Remember a few years ago where I watched this with the Les Mis cast. It was like day four of rehearsal. So everyone still liked each other.
Back in your brown wig, green vest days.
Yeah. I didn't know. I hadn't developed my character yet, but I did send you a text. Send you that screenshot of my friend who played Thénardier. And I'm like, what was my character's name in Les Mis? And he said brown wig, green vest.
Yeah,
obviously.
Oh, right.
Where we all watched the opening ceremonies and it was like that thing where like, they were, like, lighting up where it was, like, the total fail where they were lighting up all the rings. And then the last one, like, didn't light up. And it was just, like, such a tragic fail. Do you remember that?
I
forget
kind
what was
of.
Supposed to happen. I think they were supposed to, like, catch flame or something. And then the last one was just, like, rickety as shit. And it just didn't work.
Yeah, kind of. Listen,
it was like someone got fired.
No one is going to top Beijing. 2008. Don't tell me you didn't. Oh my God, Amanda.
No, I just told you the two that I've ever watched.
2008 was amazing. Okay, will you do me a favor and at least just go to YouTube and just put Beijing 2000? You're not going to do it. I'm not even going to say it because you won't.
No, I might.
It was incredible. And especially someone who appreciates the performance art. She says. They had like thousands of guys drumming at the same beat. And then there's like this level thing where it was like blocks moving and then you didn't even know until the end that it was people underneath it moving it.
Oh, that's cool. I think I'll watch that.
It was insane. You have to go see it. So, I mean, no one's going to measure up to that, but this one was just weird for me. It was just off.
I just don't really know what they were. Okay, first of all, the Imagine thing. I'm like,
oh,
what are you doing here? Did you not learn your lesson the first time?
No.
Like then, I'm surprised. I was waiting for Gal Gadot to show up.
Oh, Gal Gadot,
take a verse. Yeah,
Gal Gadot.
I'm almost positive that I was listening to a movie podcast and they found a YouTube recording of her saying her name, and it was Gadot.
Really? Okay. Well,
but
okay. Whatever. Gal, she's hot. She can go by whatever. Yeah, imagine when Keith Urban, when they turned Keith Urban around, I was like, oh my God, and then, like, what are we doing here?
As one person singing, it'll just flash to John Legend, like, inhaling with his eyes closed in slow motion.
And he did the dramatic thing with his mouth where he's like, you ho 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 ho. It, like, did this long.
Sort of. It's like, okay, so obviously we're going to see a bunch of countries. No, it was Africa,
yeah.
Oceania, or Oceania, or whatever, and then the Americas.
Well, Keith Urban is Australia. He's Australian.
Right. I think they said, like, Oceania or something.
Okay, well, as we were watching it, I was like, oh, this is so cringy. And Paige is like, oh, gosh, what are they doing? Because first the lady came out, I'm like, okay. And then the one other guy is like, all right. And then as soon as John Legend, I was like, what are we doing here? And then as Keith Urban, I'm like, oh, okay, you guys, they're going to have one person from each continent. And
nope.
I was like, no.
Nope.
I guess they aren't. I guess we're just going to keep going back to Keith. Turning around.
The Americas, also.
Oh, that was so bad. So bad.
God, I just, do you remember, like, we can all just think back on those first couple weeks of COVID when they did that Imagine thing and just how much
Wig
that missed the mark.
On a hill with one of those hipster Amish hats.
Imagine
other people.
Why did they? And I know the gal had to come out and almost, like, apologize, and she's like, and I feel bad for her because she was like, I wasn't trying to piss anyone off. Like, I was trying to just do something nice, but it was just so tone deaf. It wasn't even tone deaf. It just really missed the mark, and it was so
yeah, but then we went at it again for the Olympics when the world is watching. And you pick, I mean, okay. Anyway, now, the jazz pianist, I am not a I don't know, a connoisseur. You're like, smart person. I'm not a connoisseur of jazz, nor am I a fan. I don't understand or appreciate jazz.
I don't really think that was jazz. I think they were just saying that she made, like, she is a jazz composer, but that song wasn't really jazz. It was just like it was a cool, like, patter song.
Okay. My issue is not so much the tune she played, how she tickled the ivories. It was more her facial expressions that scared me to death.
No, but I loved that. I thought that was so cool.
That's why I wanted you to watch this. Okay.
In college, like, we had to do these things, like, every 1 week you'd all have studio, where just everyone that went to your teacher, like, my voice teacher, there was, like, 15 of us, and then we all had to perform in front of each other. Then, like, week two, you had to go to, I forget what these all were called, but you would go to a performance where, like, five or six people would perform, and it was just all the singing, the vocal students. And then every third week, there would be, the entire school of music would have these things, and you'd have to go, and you'd have a punch card, and you had to do, like, 15 a semester, and then me and my friends ended up, like, meeting somebody who, like, was a puncher for it.
Oh, my God.
And, like, we just, like, paid him to, like, punch them.
You scoured the county for punches.
But these things would suck. And it would be, like, area. Okay, the vocal one was called area, and I forget what the other one was called, but it was, like, the big mass one. It always ended with a fucking marimba. They'd roll at the marimba, and everyone in the audience would just go, oh, God. Except one time they had brought out a marimba, and they played this whole thing of, like, Super Mario Brothers, like, dun, 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 and everyone was, like, fucking loving it.
Oh, but, you dorked out over that one.
Oh, everyone was so relieved that there was something interesting happening. But they always, I mean, there would be, like, three or four piano students that would play, and it was just so fucking boring. So I like that this woman was, like, enjoying herself and smiling, and I loved it when she stood up and just, like, pounded on the keys. That's
yeah,
like,
and it sounded
cool.
Good. Sounded
amazing. She, like, got the right notes.
Maybe it was just the hair and her, like, staring kind of thing.
Yeah,
I was like,
she probably has a certain kind of personality type, but I love that she was enjoying it. I've never witnessed somebody play the piano, and I've seen hundreds where they're enjoying it and, like, making eye contact with the audience and, like, smiling.
Yeah,
and
maybe I just don't
time.
Like eye contact. That just kind of freaks me out a little
bit. But the Kabuki guy was also, I was, like, kind of horrified by that, but I was like, okay, so, like, I understand that this is, like, a part of their culture, but it was just very, like, he seemed angry.
And
he was
like, just
an
there.
Angry. Yeah, yeah.
And he just walked across the stage when she was done.
Really, I feel like he's probably doing stuff that we're not even realizing because
we
don't know.
This is what I mean. I feel like they had really good content, but just the way it was presented, or I don't know what what part of theater or performance that is called, but just how it's staged or put together.
Yeah, staging.
It just kind of let the whole thing down. Again, good stuff, but just how they did it.
Everything was just kind of half-assed. It reminded me, though, of, like, and I wonder if people do this still, but there's a, do you know Gilbert and Sullivan? Have you heard of them? They wrote, like, Pirates of Penzance. Of course you know.
Do you know Gilbert and Sullivan? She asks the sergeant of police from 1993. Excuse me? St. James the Apostle School. I only did two performances of it, so...
There was only two performances of that?
Yeah, Friday night and Saturday night.
Oh, man, after all that work?
And they were not matinees. Evening performance.
Wow. Okay, well, have you heard of the Mikado? That's one of their shows.
I didn't learn that at my school of
excellence. It has three little maids from school, are we? Just
okay,
a
yes.
Little cookie. Yeah. So I saw a production of Mikado in Calgary, and now that I'm thinking back on it, I mean, like, the whole thing is, like, Kabuki-esque.
Okay.
And it takes place in Japan, I want to say.
Okay.
Pretty sure that there's maybe one person in the cast that was Asian at all. Oh, Jesus. And, like, I really wonder how they pull that show off now. I mean, I assume, like, they're just the only higher, like, Asian people, but, like, definitely, like, because me and my dad knew people in the show, and they were all white, and they're just all dressed in, like, kabuki face. Little...
Is that risky? Is that cultural? It wasn't cultural back appropriation?
Then. It seems like it might be.
But if it's in the show, if it's the character of the show, I mean, listen, I dressed up as a sergeant of police. Does that mean I'm all Blue Lives Matter and I'm anti-black? No.
But you were playing a man, right? Like, you were a man?
Yeah, like, non-binary man.
Well, then maybe that is problematic. They should have gotten a real trans man.
Well, I did draw on a mustache. I really need to find that VHS tape. I've dug in my mom's house, but I'm going to dig again.
When I did Music Man, we would all draw on moles every Sunday, like, on our face, and we got in so much trouble for it.
Oh, moles. Seems to be a theme in your life, huh?
Yeah.
Do you know... okay, well, if you know, you know the mole story, but I now have moles coming up on my TikTok. Like, I had some story of a woman who was sleeping with some guy who had a mole somewhere down there. I was like, this is because Amanda's story of the
mole. Bloody mole. Haven't heard from him. Remember that night last week where all three guys that I had, like two
I
of them
were,
like...
I think you were ovulating and you, like, just... So you exuded a scent.
Crab cakes, and who's the other one?
Doughboy.
No, he, like, he hit me
random.
Up like that.
It was, like, Steve or something.
Oh, Steve, yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get that up. But, yeah, both of them were like, well, do you need help moving? And I'm like, I mean, I do, but I don't really want to.
Yeah.
But then the next morning, I woke up, and Doughboy had messaged me at, like, 11:30, like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Do you want to come out? And then I messaged him back in the morning, and I was like, are you fucking insane? You texted me at 11:30 p.m.
I'm pretty sure you are ovulating, because I know when your cycle is compared to mine.
Yeah.
And I think you just have pheromones that have been sent out to the universe, and they are attracting to you.
Well, I said no to everyone. I'm not having sex until I get to Canada.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that's good. You're safer in Canada. You are.
Okay.
You are.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, I have some news for you, which I think you're going to be very excited for, because I know you're a huge fan of Kristen Bell and The Simpsons.
Hey, you know, I do like The Simpsons.
The Simpsons musical episode is going to be their season 33 premiere, entitled The Star of the Backstage, and according to executive producer Matt Selman, is the
Matt
most...
Matt Selman, of course! Matt Selman, he's a doughboy.
God. Okay, well, now you're listening.
Mitch used to be a PA on The Simpsons.
Now you're listening. Okay. It is going to be the most musical episode we've ever done, he says. He added, it's like a Broadway musical of an episode with wall-to-wall music. Kristen Bell will be handling the singing duties for Marge Simpson, who is normally voiced by
Julie Kavner.
Julie Kavner. That's right. Then their Treehouse of Terror episode, I guess, is like an annual thing.
Treehouse of Horror.
Of Horror.
I guess it's an annual thing, she says.
Okay. Listen, I'm bringing you the news on this, all right? So I'm tuned in. One of the segments on that episode in this upcoming season is the greatest tragedy Homer will have ever faced, with crazy ex-girlfriend star Rachel Bloom guest starring. Isn't that great news?
And can I just want to put it out there. I think Kristen Bell is immensely talented. Like, she's very, like, she's in this musical Reefer Madness. Alan Cumming's in it. Have you heard of Reefer Madness? It's that, like, propaganda film from, like, the 30s.
No.
Okay, well, anyway, it's a really, really funny musical. You and Paige would actually love it, but it, like, it's like Alan Cumming is like a teacher, and he's like telling his students about like the evils of weed.
Okay.
And she plays Mary Jane in it, and she's very, very funny. And her voice, I think her voice is extraordinary. But in that musical, whenever it flashes back to him teaching in the classroom, somebody raises their hand, and the person's last name is Kaczynski. I mean, that doesn't happen. Like, your last name is Huff. Like, there's Julianne Huff. That's a common-ish name. Nobody's named Kaczynski. Nobody's name. I almost like.
What are you talking about? The pervy cat-loving stalker attorney for Brian Dassey and Making a Murder.
His name is Korchinski.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not Kor. There's no R in it. It is not Korchinski.
Let me look it up.
I think it's C.A. Kaczynski.
Kaczynski.
Oh, but he says it Kaczynski.
Dassey.
I'm telling you. Yeah. It's Kaczynski.
Len Kaczynski. Oh, and it also ends with a Y. It ends with a Y, though, too.
Close enough.
I mean, it's pronounced Kaczynski.
All right, but listen, I was very excited because I was like, okay, Kristen Bell, who... I think she's adorable. Actually, I think she's gorgeous. I think she's talented. I just think she's overexposed right now. We're just getting inundated with the Kristen Bell. And I don't want it to go the way of, I don't want to say Chrissy Teigen, because she's not an idiot.
Jennifer Lawrence, like that. Anne Hathaway. Yeah,
exactly. I don't want it to turn into that. And just today, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I saw some ad come up when I was watching one of the things that we were watching her this week, and she's got a new CBD lotion or cream line called Happy Dance.
Who does? Kristen Bell?
Yeah. So she's like big druggie. She does weed. She's like big into marijuana, druggie.
Oh, CBD. Yeah, okay. Well.
Reefer, Mary Jane, marijuana.
Tracks.
Yeah. Okay, so you're very excited about this.
You should watch Reefer Madness, though. You'd love it. It's really funny.
Okay. Maybe I'll do that after Schmigadoon.
Anna Gasteyer is in it. Anna Gasteyer. And dude, like, I don't even want to talk about this right now, but like, because it's still like, I'm still so scared it's going to happen again. But after we did that Masked Singer episode,
I knew
that High Hope song was in my head for, I think, a week.
No, and it
was
just, no. Why are you saying that,
like,
now?
And it's like in her voice, which is like annoying in that song. It's just really pingy. Mm-hmm. And it just never. And then I read somewhere that the way to get an earworm out of your head is to just go and listen to the song. Yeah, didn't help. It just made me learn more of the song so that I could play longer verses of it in my head. It sucked so much.
Yeah, there's quite a few songs that are like that for me. Yeah, like that one song, you gotta be good, you gotta be bad, you gotta be
fun. See, that one I can handle that song.
Oh, I hate that song so much.
Yeah. Okay, so what else? I have a couple things here. Oh, you would send me. Are you okay? You frozen?
No.
Oh, you were just giving me you were just giving me the bitchiest look.
Oh, sorry. That was literally like, just my resting face. I was like, oh, I'm gonna like, kick my feet up on this one. She's got a couple things. All right.
You looked really mad at me.
Are you sick? Do you not feel well? Because you look kind of.
You sent me, and you wanted to talk about it. The Every Little Step Maggie auditions. You wanted to talk about the Chorus Line.
Oh, yeah. I love documentaries about, well, not that a Chorus Line is a documentary, but I mean, it kind of is. It's like a theater behind the scenes of a theater, like a show about a show.
I fucking love a Chorus Line. Yeah. And like growing up watching that, you're like, oh, this is how auditions are going to be. And would never be run that way, like, ever.
This,
like,
okay, so this is what I want to talk about.
You can't run auditions that way and ask people personal information about themselves. Like,
yikes.
You can't do it that way.
Well, but yeah, the clip I sent you was from, oh God, I forgot the name of
Every Little Step. It's called Every Little Step.
Yes. Which I think I've said we should watch that for Total Request Podcast at some point.
I've seen it. And then I told you, you need to watch Best Worst Thing That Could Have Ever Happened. And then you just ignored me.
No, I do need to watch that. I thought I'd give you a thumbs up.
Yeah, good.
I just love the kind of documentary stuff about the theater world or trying out for things, even if it's like a sports team. There's just like something about it because the stakes are so high individually. And then you're just thrown into these auditions where there's, what, six or eight people just staring at you. And the way this little tiny clip from TikTok did it, it was just like snap, 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 you know, like five or six women each trying to hit that same note.
It is a high note. That is like a high ass song. And you're holding it out for a really long time. So the way A Chorus Line actually like started was in the 70s with Michael Bennett. And like it actually started with all of these dancers actually like just going and doing all these workshops. And all of these stories are real from these people's actual lives. And he just recorded like hours and hours and hours. So like all of these people's little stories are actually theirs. But I think in the 70s, dancers were better at singing back then. And singers possibly were better at dancing because Every Little Step is like so uncomfortable to watch because just you have to be such a good dancer to be in A Chorus Line, and like really, really good dancers generally can't sing that well to be able to hit these 70s. Like, also singers in the 70s had much more like, I don't know, just different voices than they do nowadays. Very pingy, I guess is the word again. But so this little section is at the song At the Ballet, where Maggie auditions, and it's just at the ballet, and it's like this big held note, but I like love that song. I love A Chorus Line. I'm obsessed with it. But like then it goes to Mara Davi, who I I've met her, I think, but Brad's girlfriend from high school, that's like her sister. So like
Wild.
He like grew up with her. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they have like all these probably great singers, but just hitting that note in all different ways. Some are screaming, some are yelling,
and they
get
so
to her,
nervous too.
And she's just beautiful. She's like brown eyes, brown hair, just like Tabella DeBall.
She's
singing.
In a very famous herpes commercial.
Shut
like, I see her
up.
All the time on this herpes commercial. I'm sure you've seen it.
Oh my god!
Like Valtrax or something like that. And she's like punching like toward the screen.
Oh,
like, I'm gonna get you.
I'm
sure
gonna beat
seen.
You up, herpes.
Yeah.
I'm angry. So she did she get the role?
Yeah, she gets the role.
I love that. The one I'm just gonna call him the judge. I don't know if he was like director or whatever, but he's like, you don't need to scream it. He says to one girl. I'm like, oh my god.
But it's a really, really hard song to sing, dude.
But in that moment, you think you're doing good, right? Or is it, if you hit a note, do you know it's a bad?
I don't. I mean, you watch American Idol, and these people genuinely think that they're good singers, and they're, like, tone deaf.
Okay, well, when you've gone on auditions, do you know in that moment, again, as someone who is not a connoisseur of voice,
right.
when you're singing, do you know, like, oh, I just hit that, or I didn't hit that, or you don't hear it in yourself.
Yeah, I know. You can tell. Yeah. I mean, you can tell if you hit a bad note.
Do you see people go like, ugh, or don't scream it?
No.
Or are they just quiet?
No. Like, I always do well at my singing auditions. Dancing, I'm always first point cut. Like, always.
Do you have to dance by yourself?
No, you go in, like, groups. You, like, learn it all together, and then you, like, go in, like, little groups of, like, eight or nine, and then they'll be like, thank you, Amanda! I have to do the walk of shame across the whole room.
Wait, they'll call you out to leave in front of everyone else?
Yeah, they'll like make cuts every time. But I remember my very first audition in New York was for On the Town, and I nailed the singing. Like, I could tell they were so excited. They're like, yes. Like, you could tell they were like, they're like, she's gonna be perfect for this role. And then I went to the dance, and like immediately they're like, okay, Amanda, thank you. We're gonna invite you to leave or something.
Why can't they do it nicer?
Only. Well, you know.
No. Oh, my God. Okay.
Please, you get so used to it. And I knew. I fucking suck. I suck at dancing. I'm terrible.
So you have to cross, like, grab your stuff and be like, bye.
Yeah, I'm like, go over to, like, the side and, like, grab my bag and, like, like do, like, a little wave, like, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, my God, I would hate that. If you walk in, maybe, like, they're all staring at my ass. They're all staring at my ass. Oh, my God.
So bad.
Don't trip. Don't trip. They pull the door instead of push. Like, eh, never had a guy at this time.
I remember one time I was doing a production of Side by Side by Sondheim, and I had the song Another 100 People Just Got Off of the Train, and Brad happened to be in the audience, and at the very end of the song, I was holding this note, like, Another 100 People Just Got Off of the Train, and I didn't hit a bad note, but I didn't hold it as long as I wanted to, and it just kind of died out, and then it went straight into intermission, and I went to my dressing room, was like slamming shit and crying hysterically. And Brad came backstage and he's like, I could tell that you were like.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Upset. It sounded fine. But, like, I was... He's like, your face just dropped.
This is ex-husband Brad. Ex-husband on good terms, Brad. Well, I'm explaining this to our new listeners.
Yes, the one who knows Mardavi. Yes.
I just wanted to clarify, not Brad Pitt. I know a lot of people were like, oh my God.
Brad Pitt went to set production side by side.
Obviously.
All right. I have, what do I have here? I have, there's a podcast I was just listening to called, this is how I got into the 9/11.
Not Doughboys? Wow. Oh,
Not Doughboys. And it's called Missing on 9/11. Have you heard of it?
Okay. Oh, is it about the mom that goes missing?
No, it's about this woman named Sneha Phillips. And she was... Okay, this is like such an interesting story. I knew about this. But September 10th,
yes.
She's seen shopping at Century 21. And that's the last time she's seen, like, on video.
Okay.
But then she goes missing forever. But
okay.
She, it wasn't like a 9/11
to see if it's
thing.
The same one I'm thinking. Sneha.
She just, like, she never came back. Sneha Phillips. And, yeah, it's kind of fascinating. People thought that she, like, used 9/11 as a way to, like, escape her life or whatever.
Yes. Okay, so I have seen this one. There is another story of a woman who had, like, 2 or 3 kids, and same thing. She went missing on, well, like, it would have been the 10th,
yeah.
But then her husband said, like, oh, it was the 11th, but really he... murdered her and killed her.
Oh!
And it was like, oh, it was 9/11. Cool. She went missing in 9/11. But yes, her picture looks very familiar. Sneha Phillip. Okay. She was an Indian American physician who was last seen on September 10th by a department store surveillance camera near her Lower Manhattan apartment. She may have returned to the building at some point that night or the next morning. Ooh. And what's it called?
Missing on 9/11.
I am going to get into this. So what do you think happened?
Well, that September 10th, she was in court for, like, some charges against her because she, like, there was, like, her life was complicated. But I don't think that she, like, ran away. I think that she maybe, went from Century 21 and, like, stayed the night at, like, maybe a man's house or, like, a girl's house because she was also bisexual. And then people say that she possibly was returning home on the 11th and... Oh, and she lived right next door to the World Trade Center. Like, you can see her building in every picture of the World Trade Center. So she... people think that since she was a physician, she, like, heard the plane hit and then she, like, ran into the building to help.
But they never were able to recover anything.
No. Well, no, of course not.
And so other people are wondering if she just took off and started a new life, too.
Right. Yeah.
That'd Which be is a you very quick decision.
Yeah, and you don't know. Like, also, like, you wouldn't know at that moment, like, oh, this there's going to be thousands of people, that are going to go missing. So,
right.
Anyway, so that got me into just listening to just millions of 9/11 clips. Like, I watched, like,
I love 9/11. Tell me all about it.
Oh, 9/11! You never get into little wormholes like that about 9/11?
Not necessarily about 9/11, but I will find myself when I can't sleep. I end up sending them to you. I'm like, I think you really like this. And different groups on like Quora or Reddit about like, what's the freakiest thing that you can think of? And then I'm like, oh my God, I can't sleep. There's going to be a white walker, dark walker, sleep walker under my bed and it's going to kill me. And then I get scared and I can't fall asleep. But not necessarily 9/11.
Last night, do you remember what I texted you? I was like, I had a half an hour or an hour window or something before I had to go back out and like walk a bunch of dogs, and I watched There's Something Wrong with Aunt Diane.
Oh, again. Jesus. That's another one. Yikes. I have tried to find updates on her son and her husband all the time. That's another one where I'm like, you know what? I haven't checked in on Aunt Diane's husband and son for a while, and I can never find anything. They're like off the grid.
Her, like, sister-in-law is batshit crazy. Like, the one who, like, believes that she wasn't...
Oh, the husband's sister.
Yeah. I think it's the husband's brother's wife or something like that. But,
they're like, she had a tooth abscess or the car went crazy. Oh, yeah, because they sued the parents of the girls that were in the car, which is so sick and twisted. Yeah, because
they were in her van. But after rewatching that once again, I'm just like, I'm so beyond convinced that like there's just nothing to this story. She was just wasted. She was wasted.
And high on marijuana, right?
And high. And like, I'm more leaning toward now, though, that she did this on purpose. That she did like a murder-suicide. I'm leaning toward that now.
In an undrunken...
No, I think that she was drunk and high because like people saw her like throwing up on the side of the road.
Right.
But then also all those witnesses said, like the witnesses that actually saw her driving, they said it was just like this pointed, steady, like she was laser focused. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm leaning more toward, is that she was like, fuck, I'm so fucked up. I'm going to be found out. She was a total perfectionist. And then her family was going to come like meet her. And I think she was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, God. I want to think that she was just speeding to get off the road. Like, I got to get to the next exit to get off. No?
I don't think so, because she drove for, like, a while on that highway.
Yeah, and you've been on it.
I found the exact... Remember? Mole? I was with Mole. And he
do
said,
I remember? You're like, we're heading home on the Taconic. And at the same time, you know, both texted Aunt Diane. That's all we'll ever think of.
And he's like, just take a picture right now. She'll never know. Like, but I'll know.
And
this isn't
as if I won't know. I know where the hill was in the background when they found. Okay, whatever. It gets real dark. So, okay, 9/11. Should we just like alienate everyone here? Do you have conspiracy theories or do you believe it was a legit plane hitting the building? Let's get to the bottom of this.
One of my favorite TikToks of Mookie's is when he does like random thoughts. It's like random thoughts that I have in the day. And it's like, you don't bake cookies. Cookies are baked, not cooked. So shouldn't they be called bakies? And he just said, but then like right in the middle, he just is straight to the camera and he goes, building 11 was an inside job. Building 7 was an inside job.
Sounds hilarious.
But he's saying all this stupid shit, like, about cookies and, like, cooking or whatever. And he's like,
something serious.
Building 7 was a, was an inside
job. I feel like I'm in the minority that I don't think it was some inside job. Like, I feel like the idiot that is just believing what I'm told on the news. Like, why would an inside job? Why? Why would they do that? Come on.
I don't think it was an... I think it was terrorists.
Okay. Well, I do too. But a lot of people are like, no, the government purposely killed these people. If you look at it, the explosion started before the plane hit it and all this stuff.
Yeah, remember? And everyone just hated George Bush back then. And now I'm like, I like George Bush.
I'm still not a fan, but... Oh, you know what? We should probably do a trigger warning. Trigger warning, guys, where we talk about 9/11. God. Jeez. Actually... You know what that made me think of? I'm tying this all together here. Pete Davidson. I got lots of Pete Davidson TikToks in my algorithm now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I sent to you was some chick that was talking about her favorite SNL people in real life that she's met. And she's like, Pete Davidson is just like a puppy. He's just like the sweetest. I just don't know how to describe him. He's like a puppy. Like, I've only met him 6 or 7 times and he's just the nicest. He remembers me and everything. And like, just the way he like picks me up and like gives the best hugs. And she's like a gal my size. And all of a sudden I was like, all this time I was like, ew, Pete Davidson. I was like, oh, you're going to lift me up. Like,
he's got big dick energy.
All right. Yeah. Now he's got it. I'm in.
I remember, right his first year of being on SNL, he was also in, like, a roast, like a Comedy Central roast. Okay. And people were making, like, 9/11 jokes about him, and one of them was, like, pretty blue. I mean, of course. And Pete Davidson, I just remember respecting him so much by being like, that was funny. He's like, that was a funny joke, so I don't mind. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
There's something about him.
There
Lauren
is
Michaels,
something
like, just,
about him.
He won't fire this kid. Like, he's given that kid so many fucking chances.
Like, I 85% don't get it, but the 15% of me that gets it, I'm like, well, yeah, because he seems like a nice kid.
I think he is really funny, actually.
And look at all of the women that are attracted to him. He's had gorgeous women that would do anything to be with him. And now he's with the chick that's in Bridgerton. He's going to be proposing to her. They're engaged now.
Oh, yikes.
I don't know anything about Bridgerton, but I know that it's a hit show.
Did you see that Bowen Yang got nominated for an Emmy?
Oh, for what?
For SNL.
SNL? Really?
Yeah, he's the very first featured player to ever be nominated.
I don't think they utilized him as much as they should have this season.
He was in a good... I mean, he'll be definitely bumped right up next year. But I was listening to Les Culturistas and... Matt Rogers is just so fucking proud of him, and I just love their dynamic. It's very, very cute.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, okay, well, this girl, just really quickly, guess who she said is not the most lovable or likable guy? I'll say guy.
Okay, Colin Jost.
Uh-huh. She's like, every time that I've seen him come out, whatever, he's wasted, he's drunk, he's just a dick, he just doesn't care, he doesn't talk to the other people. Even just on the cast, he's just, he just thinks his shit doesn't stink. I don't think he's even that cute. I think his mouth is too big for his face or something.
He's got a big jaw.
Yeah, he's got very jaw. Strong jaw.
I watched Kate McKinnon do Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld, and she is like one of the most awkward people ever. Like,
yeah.
She's not, like, which is totally fine. Like, a lot of comedians are just really weird, but, like, she was so uncomfortable the whole time, and she was just really subdued and was like, huh.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, huh.
I saw her on something else, probably kind of like that, and it was the same thing, and people have said, like, she's just really shy and not, she's a performer, you know? I can see that. When you're just, like, super goofy on stage, and you're just not like that in real life.
Because you have to channel all your energy right into that, and then you're off stage, and you're like, okay, I need to, like...
I think Kristen Wiig is kind of awkward, too, in real life.
Totally, totally.
She's got that same sort of weird thing. And I think she was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee,
She was, and I think that she was actually kind of weird, too.
Yeah, I think she was wearing another Amish hipster hat thing. I feel like she's always just wearing one of those.
We need to do an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Coffefe.
Just me and you?
Yeah. What if you do like the Kramer one?
What if when you... No, I mean like when you come through Chicago,
uh-huh.
we'll do a little podcasters in a
Jody's
Pacifica.
Car.
I don't know, getting... Prosecco? I don't know, something. I don't have a Pacifica.
Oh, we need to talk about, like, what's happening with that. I bought, cost me $100 and
15 cents. I cannot believe you bought that.
Hey, listen, it's for content. It's for the
fun. I want to, like, kick you in the cunt or something.
Why didn't you? I didn't use your money.
I know, but, oh my God, that's so much money.
It'll be worth it. I bought the One Chip Challenge, pack of two. Got a little discount with the pack of two.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like, I think it's like $68 each, but I got them both.
It's a single chip.
One chip.
So what if it comes crumbled?
It comes in a little like coffin looking
like a Pringle? Oh, okay. Got it. Then we'll just have to open and shake it in.
Right. So me and Jody are going to do this. Both of us think we're going to win, and I feel like we're both going to last 1 minute.
I'm absolutely convinced I'm going to win. Like, there's no question in my mind I'm going to win. And I think we need to have Nick.
I love hot stuff.
I love hot stuff, too.
Oh, yeah? I put hot sauce on every single thing that I eat.
I would put it on every single thing that I eat. I'm not opposed to it.
Do you put it on your eggs?
Yes, I do, actually. I like Cholula on my eggs.
Cholula's not hot enough for me.
Well, it's what I have on hand. Actually, you know what? I have very hot sauce, too, that someone gave Dave. That's like Devil's Brew or something like that.
I almost considered buying three so that I could, like, try it by myself at home and see what it would be like.
You are so deceitful. You would train for it. I think you did. I think you actually did get a pack of three.
No, that would have cost me, like, almost $200.
Okay, so I think we need to have Nick be the commissioner. We'll get him on FaceTime.
The okay.
Yeah, he's going to be the commish.
And what's he going to do?
He's going to give the play-by-play. And somehow we'll have this audio all work out.
And we can talk. Well, here. Like, he can have some topics
yeah,
for us.
We can sit here in my office right here. We can Zoom him in or FaceTime or whatever. And we're going to sit right here. We're going to do the One Chip Challenge. I'm totally convinced I can do this.
We could even do, like, an AMA for that one. Get people to ask some questions, and he can facilitate it.
Felicity. Did you ever watch that show, Felicity?
No, I remember she cut her hair, and it was all over.
Oh, yeah. She really screwed the pooch on that one.
So, whoever drinks water or milk, or whoever caves first. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've watched, like, videos on... There's a really funny one. I think it's actually maybe in Calgary, but it's this, like, news station that does it, like, this whole row. And, like, they're doing it, like, not on air, but it is being, like, live streamed.
Okay.
And, like, it is so funny. Like, they are all dying. Like, just tears streaming down their faces. It is so funny to watch.
I'm gonna have to get some bleach wipes and stuff for the bathroom in case you have to use my bathroom.
I'm not gonna like have explosive diarrhea in your bathroom. Also, do you think that walk into a bathroom and stand up and just twirl around shitting?
No.
Because I can sit on the toilet and aim for the
toilet. I've heard toilets and I've heard stories that you're like... Okay, listen, there are two things that you've told me.
That I shit all over my bathroom?
That when I think Amanda, I think of you saying...
Here we go. Can't wait for this. This won't be offensive at all.
You've told me, number one, you've peed in every pool that you've ever been in.
Absolutely.
And number two, you've shit in every house that you've been in.
I haven't shit in every house I've ever been in. I said I've shit in every single one of my clients.
So you're telling me you've gone to friends' houses and you haven't shit. Have you pooped at...
If a friend is there, like, I wouldn't shit.
You're going to hold it in. So if you took a visit to Nick's house, you're not going to use his facilities.
Okay. This is... crazy. I was listening to Best Supporting Podcast, and they just started just like easily talking about this thing called a Pittsburgh toilet. Have you heard of this?
No.
And
I heard them talking about this. They were like joking, and I didn't
wild.
Get it.
I pulled up a picture, and it's just like like, if you had a basement and there was just, like, your washer and dryer, and then in the middle of the room, there's just a toilet. It's just a toilet in the middle of the room. The anxiety level of that would kill me.
Okay, so they were talking about Nick and Keon got this buffet. I was listening to that. And they brought it down to the basement. And they were talking about that, but I thought it was just some inside joke thing.
No, there's a thing called a Pittsburgh toilet where I guess it's because, like, men in, like, would work at the mines? Does that sound right? Is there mines in Pittsburgh? Anyway, blue-collar men come home, but they're, like, so dirty that they don't want to use, like, the nice bathrooms, so they just have, like, in the basement just a toilet that's sitting there, and then they can, like, use that.
Huh.
I mean, should look it up. It's the stress level.
For toilets and basements. Like, you can have the plumbing set up to do a bathroom.
But can you imagine,
wow.
Using a toilet without, like, a closed door?
No, I would have agoraphobia. I have agoraphobia for using the bathroom. I need to be in an enclosed space.
Oh, well, I mean, that'd be the main reason why I would not want to go to jail, because, like, you're shitting in front of someone else.
I said this before. I would die of toxemia or something.
Sorry,
because
we're
I would
talking
hold
about poop
again,
guys. We didn't mean this wasn't on my list.
It was on your list.
No, we were talking about the one chip challenge, and then you, for some reason,
okay,
expect
I definitely
me to just
brought it up. I'm sorry. I think about my clean bathroom. Okay, sue me.
You know what? I just won't use your bathroom. Okay, I'll hold it.
Okay. Okay. Hey, so what is 60 Days In coming back on? By the way, that makes me think of 60 Days In. I miss that show.
I'm kind of over it. I'm over Love After Lockup, too. But, but if I win this challenge, Jody has to watch an hour of the 25-hour Doe-a-thon.
I talked her down from the full 25. An hour of a 25.
Well, what do I have to do, though?
Well, I'll think of something good. I'll think of something
really good. More carpool karaoke.
No, Nick said that he would help me out finding something that was real painful for you.
Maybe can't imagine anything more painful than,
you know, I do have an access point to Daphne. I could get some info. I could make you watch something else that you've been in, or maybe I'll just have you watch your Criminal Minds or whatever
anything.
Episode.
There's nothing you could. I'm not in anything.
I can find things. Trust me, I can find things.
Okay. Well, what would I be watching?
Your performance in Assassins or something.
Yeah, but I uploaded those. I've seen all of those 3 million times.
Yeah, but you're going to have to break it down for all of us.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to want to listen to that.
No, listen. I have...
The Doe-a-thon, that's real good content.
I have some ideas. I have a couple different avenues I can go down. I'll think of something really good, though.
You're going to make me watch Blackfish.
No. That's not painful enough.
Okay.
That's not painful enough for an hour of the Doe-a-thon. Although, you and I doing a 25-hour something, that would be funny.
That would be funny.
Because I'm sure people want to hear us talk about nothing for longer.
We'd raise, like, $250.
Not even.
They raise $200,000, and we'll raise, like, less than our goal.
Just to shut up and end it. Like, you guys just take our $5. Okay, you guys are fine. Just close up shop. You're good. We've heard enough.
I think we could do a 25-hour something.
I could definitely do it.
I don't know. I really like sleeping, though.
It's a little overrated. If we could we scroll TikTok while we're doing this?
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, an hour and a half of the Doe-a-thon is Mitch and Dano watching The Mummy.
Ew. Oh, my
They're
God.
They're just, like,
Are you...
watching The
Jesus
Mummy.
Jesus Christ. This is, like, so depressing. They're raising this money by watching freaking Mummy.
And the context is that the 25-hour Doe-a-thon took place on Mitch's mom's birthday, so they watched The Mummy.
Okay.
Because it was his mom's birthday.
Jesus. Let's move on real quick. We haven't even talked about Teen Mom. Let's just knock
Oh, my God. I was, like, ready to wrap this up here.
Okay. Do you want to save it?
No.
Okay.
There's not much to say.
Okay, what baby wants, baby gets. All right, real quickly, Kale and Chris are fighting about custody. And Kale doesn't wash her hair for 4 days and then makes her hairstylist brush it through.
Like, at least lie.
So gross. Or at
she
least
goes, I haven't
brush
washed
it.
My hair in 4 days, so have fun. And the hairstylist is
it's
like,
so
oh,
greasy
great.
Right at the roots. And then she didn't even brush it. So she's, like, getting out all these knots.
Well, she has that, Yeah, she has the hair where, like, you've worn it up in, like, a shitty bun for 4 days and, like, haven't brushed it out. So it's
so
all
gross.
Just, like, split ends. I mean, not that I would know about
well,
any
no,
of that.
But not when you go and get your hair done. It's so disgusting. Then she sits down. She's like, so I have a court date. As a hairdresser, I'd be like, oh, tell me about it. Like, fuck me. Fuck my life. Like, I want to hear about this. Kale is just, like, a walking black cloud. She's so annoying. And then she was on Instagram Live or something this week, right?
Yeah, she sure was. With Javi. Bitching
your
about
favorite.
Lauren. That's not going to come. That's not going to come back to bite either of you in the ass at all.
Yeah, she was saying that Lauren hit Javi and she's a domestic abuser and all that kind of stuff.
Right, because Kale isn't.
Yeah, no, Kale didn't get arrested for hitting her son's dad, right? Breaking into his house,
but that was
allegedly.
Dropped. Those charges were dropped, so it didn't happen, therefore.
Well, it wasn't on TV. They didn't talk about it on TV.
She hit Joe, and then said that he hit her. Mm. And then she hit Javi on camera.
Mm.
Remember that she, like, grabbed his face and, like, shoved it in the wall?
Well, listen, if she doesn't want to talk about it on Teen Mom 2, it doesn't happen at all. It's as if it never existed. So, yeah, she's a great mom. Brianna.
The producer goes to, like, she has, like, her own, like, studio for the fucking...
I don't
was
know.
Was it for Coffee Con? Oh, no, it was for her and V's podcast that doesn't exist anymore.
Are they recording anything now?
I don't know. Let me see. What's that thing called?
Baby Mama's No Drama. Although,
no
lots of drama. Yeah, lots of drama. And they're not speaking anymore. Oh, God, they're so short-sighted on this. I can't even.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Life After Show. So they're going back and forth.
Oh, my God. Just wrap it up. Call it a day.
July 13th, B released an episode with her friend Alessandra. While Kale is away on vacation. Life After Your 20s is what it's called. Oh, please. Give me the inside.
Oh, yeah, I gotta get... Let's take notes on that one.
I want to get V's opinion on that. Then, Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
There's one called Tony Tells All. This one is NSFW, everyone. This week, Kale is joined by her friend, Tony.
That's Pizza Tony, I think. The guy that she always gets pizza with.
T-O-N-I? That's a girl, I think.
Oh, okay. Maybe not.
To tell some long-awaited stories. Back by listener request.
Long-awaited. We've been on the edge of our seats.
Back by listener request, Tony is ready to share her embarrassing sex story with the world.
You know what?
What could it be?
We might have to play that. We might have to do, like, a live playing of it. And we can comment. Long-awaited.
What do you think it is?
She queefed.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Right? Maybe fast forward.
I mean,
that is
pretty embarrassing.
That can be pretty funny.
Something with anal.
I mean, I'm awaiting it.
Okay. Kale and Tony also discuss running into exes, and shaming people for their number of past sexual partners, Jody. And, oh, listen to this old chestnut. Tony talks about how she met her husband and the tough road they traveled to get where they are today. Well, I can't wait to hear Tony's advice.
She sounds like a fun one. I bet that hilarious sex story was her and her husband. It's so funny.
Like, she probably farted by accident.
Probably. I really want to know what that is. I think you should play it. Let's see if we can fast forward it. Come on.
Okay.
Let's play it and fast forward. And while you're doing that...
let me try to go through the 25,000 ads.
Yeah. Glamour seems appropriate. Is she yelling?
I people are curious, and it's just, you know... I mean, but there's been no negative comments, which I think is great.
Let's see here.
Elaborated on Kevin? No, a lot of people ask me about my husband, and they want to hear stories like how...
Oh, so yeah.
I'm sure.
She must be talking about my tweets.
How many messages do you get every day just asking about Dave and how you met?
Oh, my God. I can't even count.
I'm not going to go there, because if he heard you say that, he would be like, really? She thinks I'm voting? And then I'd have to shoot him down and break his confidence a little bit. So
yeah. This makes me want to kill myself. I'm going to listen to that later, and I'll find it. Oh, my God. I mean, I know that I know... We know for a fact that people listen to our podcast the exact same way. Like, oh my god, these bitches, especially Amanda, stop talking about poop.
The fact that her popular friend Tony receives so many questions about how her husband.
People ask me all the time about my husband and like how we met and stuff.
Ew, God, I want to.
No, they don't. Nobody cares about anyone else's life at all. No. At all.
Speaking of other people's lives that we've been watching from the very beginning, Jade and Brianna, Ashley and Leah. Okay, so Brianna knows that Lewis sucks. Stella cries. It's sad. She's a great mom. The way that she spoke to Stella was perfect, in my opinion. And yeah. Well done. Okay, Jade.
Wait, I watched a clip of the reunion, like a preview, where she's talking to Devoyne. And they're all actually in the same room together, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And she's like, thank you so much for loving my daughter, Stella. Like, I really appreciate that. And she's like crying. And Dr. Drew's like, this is a lot. It's a lot of growth.
Oh,
a lot of growth. But then immediately she's like, fuck you, Devon. You don't even know. You don't even know. You don't do nothing. You don't do. You got all these expensive shoes. And then she's screaming at him again. Okay, like, whatever.
Well, she's not wrong. I'll say that. Jade, first line of the episode. Things with Sean are getting worse. That's the first line of every single episode.
Getting worse.
They're always getting worse. They've always just had a fight, and she's just asked him to leave. So, whatever. Do you care?
He's on Tinder.
Yeah, whatever.
But then he meets with the producer, Felicia, and he's like, yeah, no, I did it on purpose just to get a rise out of her. And I was like, that always works.
Mm-hmm.
It's always... Well, I mean, oh, but it does work! Because then I think they got back together. Like, I don't know what their status is
now.
They're
together, whatever.
Remember when she posed for all those boudoir pictures? And, like, he's, like, in them? And he's, like, grabbing her ass and shit?
Ew!
We just recorded an episode of Mama June from Not to Hot.
Yes.
And we both said, I was like, there's a word that Janelle mispronounced.
Yeah.
And Allison Shenton just wrote, dramastic is the Janelle word you guys are thinking of. Thank you, Allison.
Thank
dramastic.
You. Dramastic.
Dramastically. Yeah, Nathan uses it too. They both really throw it around.
God, they're so dumb. Okay, so Ashley and Barr get some ugly ass, gross fart.
What's this?
Fart filled. Furniture. Yeah, fart filled furniture from the 70s/1800s.
So weird, because I'm like, what if it rains?
I think I know what kind of effect they're going for. You know, like you see in these little artsy fartsy.
But
photos.
They're not artsy fartsy.
I know, and they're like these
like,
disgusting couches.
Like, I can see
couches.
Leah doing this.
Oh my god, like on a hill. And she'd be like, Allie, go sit on the couch. Nothing bad can happen, y'all. They have some ugly ass furniture in their yard to throw this party. She walks into a screen door, which I think they should have given more attention to.
That was really funny.
Because Barr didn't even laugh that hard. He was like,
he laughed.
It was like, ha, and then they just kept carrying on the conversation. If that happened in my house, I'm like, oh my god, you walked into the door, and then you did that. Wait, dude, I would want a whole replay. I'd be laughing for like at least an hour.
Oh no,
about
me too.
It. I would
get funnier
let
every time you think of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're at the party and they're playing this fun game of who's gonna get the most wasted tonight, and a bunch of people pick Barr. You know. The one with the alcohol problem.
And
funny.
The one
that's
who
a funny joke.
Has a court date and who's going to be serving jail time.
He's like he's basically playing Edward 40 Hands. He's like drinking a huge 40.
Jesus.
Have you ever played Edward 40 Hands?
No.
Do you know what that is?
No. I thought it was just like manhandling a bunch of bottles or something.
No, you duct tape a 40 to each of your hands, and then you have to drink them, and they're duct taped because you're gonna want to pee.
Yeah.
So you can't pee until you finish the bottles. So you can't
you're
take them off.
You're gonna die. I don't like that game.
No, it's not a fun game. It sucks.
Oh, I don't like that. That's very dangerous.
There's a picture somewhere in my Facebook of Brad like playing that. Like Brad and my friend Ben, and they're both just these shitty ass.
Oh my god, that's so scary. That's like a hazing thing. I don't like it.
It's a stupid thing to do.
I mean, I guess we can just fast forward through the part where he shoots a gun and the police get called, right?
God.
This is where I'm like, I don't feel bad for you. You're fucking idiot.
Well, he's already about to serve 15 days in county for
so the... why not discharge a firearm that I'm not supposed to have?
And also, like, even, like, Pastor T is there, like, and everyone's encouraging him to keep drinking. And, like, he has said before, like, I don't really drink that much anymore. I'm like, you're three quarters of the way through a 40.
Remember, and he's like, ooh, this wine, it's so strong. I'm, like, so buzzed already.
So buzzed.
Idiot. Fucking idiot. Because, seriously, that's dangerous. That could kill someone. The fact that he's got a gun there, whether it was his or someone else's, I just hate all of it. You know what I don't hate? Leah's walk for health is around the lakes, y'all. Leah.
She's wearing
Victoria.
A blazer. She's wearing a blazer in every scene in this.
Oh, I wrote that down. Blazer Leah's back.
Except for the scene where her and Victoria are clearly coked out of their minds.
This is what we need to talk about.
Yeah.
They're walking is a stretch. I would say like a meander.
Swaying. They're swaying. Which, this is identical to that scene where they went to, like, Bed Bath & Beyond and they're standing in the curtains.
It was like a mattress store or something.
Yeah, but they're standing among curtains and they're both just swaying.
Uh-huh. And Victoria's like, so, aren't you, like, really scared Chambers is getting bigger?
And then Leah says, I'm just worried about my girls. Also, I can't stand this shit because she's like, you know, the surgery, y'all, the doc, it keeps growing. It's grown half a centimeter, but the doc, I'll get a second opinion maybe another time. Get a second opinion now and just get it fucking removed, dude. That would scare the shit out of me if it grew.
She loves this tumor. You want to know the reason why she ran into that closet to take the phone call? It's because she's terrified that they are going to hear, that the cameras are going to pick up the phone and hear the doctor be like, it's you're totally fine. It's nothing. We'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, because the way she's saying it is like,
she went into a closet.
Oh, really? Okay. Thanks, doc. I don't need surgery, y'all. And Patrick's
so disappointed. Yay! She's like, it only grew half centimeter. And then she calls up her friend Kaylee. No surgery, bitch. Woo, woo. She did a woo, woo. Like, what are we in 1993?
But, dude, should she not just have it removed, especially if it's growing?
Well, she doesn't have insurance, so she's going to have to spend actual money.
And she'll get a second opinion maybe down the road.
Get a second she opinion wants now. It to it's get cancer. Bigger, so it'll be her storyline for next season, I'm telling you. She loves this tumor. She's like, because sometimes it hurts. Like, ow. I'm like, Leah, it was on the other boob. Like, you... Like, you're not even good at faking
this. I'm uncomfortable with her constantly talking about her
breasts.
I don't like hearing it.
And she does, like, an extra S. She's like, breast. My breast.
She's got, like, my brown breast. Lipstick on and brown blush.
Yeah, and then she's talking to Kaylee. She's like, I'm so glad I don't have to have surgery on my breasts because I want to be an example for my girls. But that sentence doesn't even make sense. I'm so glad I don't have to have surgery, because that's setting an example. She's celebrating herself too early and for nothing.
In the preview for next week for the reunion, it's her crying on the couch going, Dr. Drew, it's been a hell of a 12 years. She's crying.
A hell of a 12 years. Monkey! Yeah, maybe because you were doped out on whatever for about 10 of them. And then when she goes to tell the girls this, sits them down for another picnic in the grass to
Laser
talk about
picnic.
Her breasts. Addie comes over with no shoes on. And I knew Addie's feet would smell. I knew
Yeah.
Somehow I always knew they would smell. Like, why am I not surprised, but Leah is surprised that her feet smell? My kids' feet don't smell. I have never been like, they smell. Maybe people just have stinky feet. Maybe we just don't carry the stinky feet gene or something, but I've never smelled my kids' feet.
You used to work in a school, though. I feel like I've worked at so many, like, day camps and shit.
But not, like, my own kids'
feet. They all smell like feet. Well, maybe you can't tell because of your own kids.
No. I have a very good sense of smell, especially when I'm pregnant. Like, Dave had severe halitosis every time I was early pregnant. Like, I'd be like, you need to get that checked out. There's something wrong with you.
Ew, that sucks. Hi, Latrice.
Everyone else was like, he doesn't have bad breath. It doesn't smell. But I smelt it. I would just, sit there and just, stare. I'd be like, I can smell your breath from across the room. You're disgusting.
Well, she's sitting at the picnic, and she's like, I don't know if I mentioned it, girls, but I have a tumor on my breasts. And they're like,
Yeah.
I don't need surgery. Yay! Oh, you don't need surgery at all? No. And then
she goes, you know, as a mom, and she's talking to the girl, I'm always worried about you guys' health. And I need to take care of my health. So I want you girls to know you have to promise to take care of y'all's health. Pinky promise.
A pinky promise. We just talked about that on the Mama Gina.
I hate pinky promise. I hate it. And she's like, pinky promise. What does this have to do with like any sort of you setting an example? You went to the fucking doctor and you followed up. Like, I don't come home to the kids and be like, guess what, y'alls? I got my mammogram because I'm going to be a good example for you, y'all.
Also, the girls are promising what, like, they still have, like,
they're
going to
check their,
like,
boobs? They don't they have 10 boobs
to,
yet.
They have 10 to 15 years before they even need to start booking their own doctor's appointments. Like, Leah should be the one pinky promising that she's going to follow up on their health.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not their responsibility, like, right now.
It's like, so I can take Dr. Sal off my speed dial and you can take care of it from now on, or...
Walter, come here.
Yeah, she's all on this, like, breast health thing, and all of them are still concave. Like, they're not even near little breast buds.
Dude, I just don't even know, like, what this reunion is going to be, like, how annoying
it's going
to be.
Oh, Blazer Leah.
Yes!
I'm trying to think of Blazer
Leah.
Yes,
Nessa!
Yes! Was she wearing a blazer in the previews?
I think she's wearing a black blazer.
Because she was definitely Blazer Leah. She put on her blazer to receive that phone call. She got all dressed up. She was ready to go.
Hang on, I bought this on Amazon, so I can just fast forward to the end here.
Okay.
I'll play it for you. You can hear it.
Hey, Leah, what's going to be your storyline for next season? Is it going to be breast health?
Oh, God. Yes. All right, here we go. Kristen Chalinski, I just saw.
Oh,
Chalinski! Chalinski!
So good.
All right, here we go.
Next time on the Teen Mom 2 reunion.
Guys, this has been one hell of a 12 years.
That's been one hell of a 12 years. No, she's just wearing a black dress.
Sounds like the phone's breaking up. The worst crier ever.
Next time on the Teen Mom 2 reunion.
Guys, this has been one hell of a 12 years.
Can't continue to watch her.
Oh, that's Leah.
It for Teen Mom.
She
at
never
least,
fails
though.
To live. To, no, I can't even speak.
She never fails
to live her.
Jesus.
School of excellence, y'all. All right.
We'll be back next week.
Ooh. That probably felt like the Olympic opening ceremony for everyone else. Like,
yeah,
oh
no,
my God,
when you said, okay, we need to talk about Teen Mom, like, I was shocked.
All right,
guys. Y'all's is.
Y'all. Bye. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.